We're going to read three verses there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we're going to start reading in verse number 6. So we're glad to be out. We know it's a lot going on. President Trump had asked that today be set aside for a national day of prayer. We've already had prayer today, but we're going to go to the Lord in prayer again. And of course, we would have been praying anyway, but it's good to be reminded and to be encouraged to pray. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Let's pray. Father, we come today, and I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful for all the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I ask that you would help us today as we've come to worship. I pray that we would truly worship in spirit and in truth. I pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word. I pray that you'd give me the very things you'd have me to say today, and that I wouldn't say anything out of the way or that I shouldn't say, Lord, but I truly pray to be led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray for them to have wisdom. We pray for them to have divine guidance. And more than anything, Lord, we pray you'd touch and heal our country, our world. Lord, that we would truly see a turning to you. That's what we need more than anything, Lord. We pray for that. And so, Lord, help us today. Speak to our hearts. Save souls. Get glory out of everything that's said and done. Be with every person that hears the message today or will hear it. We pray that it would be a great blessing. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back. I'm going to read verse number 7, and really just preaching out of verse number 7 today, and it's a passage of Scripture, a verse of Scripture that I've quoted many, many times, and we're going to try to preach out of it today. The Bible said in verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," is what the Bible says, a sound mind. And you know, I've been preaching for several years now, many, many years, and I hope I've learned a few things down through the years. I preached on the radio for years and years and had a weekly radio broadcast. I'd go in live and done that for several years, about 7 years I think it was, and then recorded messages. And so, you know, it's not something that I've just started doing recently, but some of the things that I've learned down through the years is, one thing I've learned is that if you preach and you make your ministry all about current events, then as soon as that event is over, the message you preached is irrelevant. It won't matter anymore. But if you preach a Bible message, that message will never die. I mean, if you preach a message that is based on the Bible, no matter what's going on in the world, and you bring out principles from the Bible, that message will never die, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Bible is a living book. And so if we stay in the Word of God, then that ministry, that those messages will never die. They will never go out of date. They will always be helpful. And it doesn't matter if it's somebody has it on a shelf for 20 years and they pull it back out and listen to it. If it's a Bible message, it will be a relevant message. I've learned that in times where there are current events that captivate our minds and our hearts, during those times, something else that I've learned is that the Word of God is more relevant than the latest news update. The Word of God is more important and speaks more to our heart than the most current newscast or the latest government warning or what the governor is saying out of his office or what the president is saying out of the White House. All that'll be news tomorrow. But the Word of God can speak to us and help us right now where we are today. That's the nature of God's Word. And it's good that we have God's Word to turn to during times like this. And so we realize we are living, Brother Stephen said this morning, he called it weird times. And it's sort of weird, I'll have to admit. Coming to church this morning, it was just a little bit different as we drove by, and many churches have canceled their services and already canceled for 2 weeks, and school's going to be out and all of those things. So we're living in times where there's a lot going on. I'm not going to preach today on the coronavirus per se, but I do want to preach on this subject, the spirit of fear. The Bible talks about that in verse number 7, for God hath not given us to us the spirit of fear. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. I went to town on Friday. I drove into town and it had just been declared, the president had declared a national emergency because of the coronavirus and all like that. And it's been on the news and everybody knows that. I don't have to go over that, but I went. Was driving into town and I noticed something. I noticed that the birds were still flying around. And I noticed that the sun was trying to shine. You know how it is. It's March. It may be snowing by the end of the week. I noticed that the yellow flowers are beginning to bloom. I think in the springtime those come out first. And I always know they're coming. They're blooming because my allergies start acting up. You know, the daffodils and the, I don't know, that invasive creature that everybody has in their yards. It's not the goldenrod, forsythia, whatever it is, I don't know. But man, them things, as soon as they begin to appear, my throat gets scratchy. I don't know about anybody else. I noticed traffic was moving along and I noticed that just to look around at the world, everything seemed pretty much like it always is. The only difference from 1 week to the next week is that our nation is in the grip of the spirit of fear. I really believe that. That's the only thing. If you look at everything else, or if you hadn't been watching the news, or you just, you know, came here from another country and hadn't been exposed to the news, you wouldn't know there's a thing going on. But our nation is in the grip of the spirit of fear. And I want to show you what that is today from the Word of God. There's just three things I'm going to point out, and then I'll be done. Number one, and everything starts with the letter A. That's alliteration and, you know, line everything up. But first of all, the spirit of fear is anxiety. Spirit of fear is anxiety. Look what the Bible says. For God hath not given us. Now, notice what the Bible says. The spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. We're not talking about anything in particular in this passage of Scripture. Paul wasn't talking about being afraid of the Roman soldiers or Herod or the religious Jews or anything like that. He's talking about the spirit of fear. Of fear. Not an actual thing, but a thing you can't put your hands on. You ought to underline that in your Bible. The spirit of fear. Now, I said the spirit of fear is anxiety because if you know anything about anxiety, anxiety is this. If you look up the definition of it, it is a feeling of imminent doom or death. It is an unfounded fear. Now, I'm not saying anxiety is not a real thing, because it is. If you've ever had real anxiety, you feel like that you're getting ready to die. I have had anxiety before. I know what it feels like. You just feel like, oh my goodness, I'm getting ready to die. I've took my pulse before. I'm not getting ready to die. But I feel like, for whatever the reason might be, I'm getting ready to die. That's anxiety. That is an unfounded fear. That is an unreal fear. Obviously, I didn't die. I'm standing here today. But the spirit of fear, the spirit of fear, if I try to explain it a few different ways this morning, the spirit of fear is an irrational fear. It is a fear that causes people all of a sudden to leave their daily routine lives and start stocking up on toilet paper all of a sudden. Now, it's not a stomach bug virus. I could understand. It's a respiratory thing. But has anybody noticed that? Go to the grocery store and you look down the aisle there and there's no toilet paper, there's no paper towels, there's no Kleenexes. You're not going to go to the bathroom any more than you have been going. You're not going to need any more than you have needed in the past, but all of a sudden everybody's just gone crazy. That's irrational fear. It's an unfounded fear. And the next thing is, you know, hand sanitizer. And I've heard stories about people stockpiling hand sanitizer. And then I was in the grocery store the other day and I noticed this. There was empty spots where there's usually not empty spots. You know, things just getting gone. People wandering around just look like thinking, you know, what do I need to fill this buggy up with that I might need in the future? An irrational fear. That is what the spirit of fear is. It is an irrational fear. The spirit of fear is a fear that is out of proportion to the relative danger. Out of proportion fear. Now, I might get the COVID-19. You might get coronavirus. But don't you know there's a whole lot more chance you probably get the flu? Don't you know there's, and I hate to say it this way, but in our household down through the past several years, we've had more cancer than the flu. You might get the flu. You might get cancer. I think I'd rather have the coronavirus than the cancer. You might get in a car accident. Probably more of a chance that you'd be in a car wreck. You say, preacher, I was worried about one thing. Now I'm worried about five things. I had three close calls this week in my pickup. Somebody pulled out in front of me over beside the mall. Somebody bowed up in front of me in front of 105. Somebody was in my lane on George's Gap. I had to run off the road a little bit. It's a whole lot more dangerous to drive around. And so it is a fear that is out of proportion to the real relative danger. I'm not throwing off and saying anything is not dangerous or not important. I'm talking about the spirit of fear, what it is. It's out of proportion fear. It is a contagious fear. It is a consuming fear. It is a fear, and you just turn on the news. I mean, any channel, it doesn't matter. That's all they're talking about. It's a contagious fear. This is gold if you're a news reporter. Man, they love stuff like this. I was watching it the other day. I told Kim, I said, they're just fear-mongering. It's making people afraid, and there's no real reason to be afraid. And so it's a contagious fear. It's a consuming fear. It's all people are talking about. It's all that people are talking and posting about on social media and things like that. It is a contrived fear. Contrived, the word means this, to invent, to devise, to plan out. Now look what the Bible says in verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God is not the one that gives or promotes the spirit of fear. That is not from the Lord. Well, who is it that would like us to be afraid all the time? Well, it's the devil. It's Satan. Satan is the spirit of fear. Satan is the one that in the Bible, he's all about fear. He wants people to be afraid of everything. God is all about fear not. All throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when we find God's people up against anything that would make them afraid, the Lord comes along and the Lord says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Somebody said there's 365 fear nots in the Bible. I've never counted them all, but there's a lot of them in there. God told Joshua, fear not. God told in the New Testament, fear not my little flock, and on and on and on. We are not to be afraid. The spirit of fear is not from the Lord. It's from somewhere else. Talking about the spirit of fear. It's anxiety, it's an unfounded fear, it's a contagious fear, a contrived fear, all of those things. But I want you to see something else in verse number 7 I've never noticed before. The spirit of fear, the antithesis of fear. Now, what that means is just the opposite. That word antithesis, I say it like this, antithesis, but there's a better way to say it. An opposite of words or sentiments. We have in this verse the opposite of the spirit of fear. The opposite of the spirit of fear is power, love, and a sound mind. That's the opposite. And we'll show you some things out of this verse. The Bible said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." But now the opposite of the spirit of fear that God does give us is power and love and a sound mind. Three things right there. Power. Think about power this morning. Power is available to the children of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that power belongeth unto the Lord. The child of God has power. Acts chapter 1 verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." God has given us power to witness, to be faithful to His word, to proclaim His truth, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is available power for us. We find in the Bible God gives power to encounter our foes, our enemies. Think about little old David. Goes up against the biggest guy in the land. Everybody, I mean, news, sports analogy, people that don't know anything about the Bible probably. I've heard people say, compare David and Goliath. David and Goliath. The one that nobody expects to win comes up and wins the battle. If you mention a David and Goliath scenario, pretty much everybody knows what you're talking about. David took a slingshot and killed Goliath. There's power to triumph over our enemies. We think about Daniel and the king, and the king said nobody's gonna worship any god but the God that I set up. And Daniel said, "We're not going to." Power. That took some courage. He wasn't afraid. He should have been afraid, but he wasn't afraid. He said, "We're not going to bow down." The king said, "I'm going to throw you in the furnace." He said, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, "Go ahead. Still not going to do it." He should have been afraid. But he was not afraid. God gave him a power to overcome and encounter his enemies and his foes. We have power in the Bible to bear up under trials. Think about Job. If anybody should have given up, Job should have given up. Job never gave up. Job said, yea, the Lord slay me, yet will I trust him. The power to bear up under trials. The power to triumph under persecution. The Apostle Paul was persecuted. Peter was persecuted. I read this week they took Peter and they threw him in prison and they were going to take him out and kill him. But the church made prayer unto God. Acts chapter number 12. Power. Think about John Bunyan, thrown in prison for 12 years. He's got a wife. He's got a little daughter that's blind. And they said, "You know, John, we'll let you out if you'll promise not to preach." He said, "If you let me out today, I'm going to preach tomorrow." Power to bear up under times of immense persecution and all of these things. We find that God has given us power. The gospel inspires people and has inspired people for centuries to have holy courage. And the world says, "You better not go." And some child of God says, "I'm going to go. The Lord sent me." The Lord told Isaiah, "Who will go? Who I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And the Lord told them they wouldn't listen. Same with Jeremiah, but they went. God's people ought to be characterized by a divine power, not something we can work up in and of our own selves, but God gives us power and courage and holy boldness. That is what God gives. The opposite of power is weakness. The spirit of fear is the spirit of weakness. How many times do we associate fear with, okay, we say it like this, I was scared to death. Nobody says I was scared to life or I was scared into action. He was frozen with fear. You ever been that? Somebody scare you? Kim and I went on a little walk yesterday. We're walking up the gravel road in front of the house, and there was a calf that was right down next to the fence, but there was a lot of briars, and I didn't see the it's actually a little bigger than a calf. And when we got right up beside of it, it stomped and ran away, and it startled me, and I stopped. And Kim said, "What was that? What was that?" We didn't run, we stopped. If it had been a bear, we'd have just been some clothes and tennis shoes laying there. That's all. But see, we're scared. And when we're scared, we're frozen. We can't move. We can't think right. We can't operate the way that we ought to. When we're afraid, we're in a spirit of weakness. And that's what fear does. It causes all of our courage, all of our heart to go out. I was reading and studying in the book of Joshua when Joshua sent the spies over into Jericho, and they went up and they went into Rahab's house, and they were talking to her about what God was doing and what they were doing there. And Rahab said this to the spies. She said in Joshua 2:11, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any courage in any man." That's what fear does. It causes our hearts to melt. It causes our courage to go away, and we're scared to death and we're afraid of everything. God's people should not be characterized by being scared to death and afraid of everything, because God has given us the spirit of power. Power. That's a great thing. The Bible said God has given us the spirit of power and of love. We are to be characterized by love. That is our new commandment. That is our marching orders from the Lord Jesus Christ before he was crucified, before he went back to heaven. John 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another." We're to be characterized by love in everything that we do. In all of our ministry, in all of our outreach, boy, there ought to be love behind it. If there's not love behind it, we're not doing it right. God has given us the spirit of love. Let me read 1 John 4:18. "There is no fear in love." See, I'm not making this up. It's what the Bible says. Say, "Preacher, I'm scared to death." There's no fear in love. "But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment." Boy, isn't that right? Fear has torment. If you get to thinking in your mind, what if this happens, what if that happens, what if I get sick, what if they run out of toilet paper, what if, you know, you can't get this, and can't, it's torment. It's awful. Fear has torment. "He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Here's the thing about love. Fear, when we have fear in place of love, what happens is that fear makes an enemy out of the very ones that we should be loving. That's what fear does. Wherever you find a spirit of fear, you find suspicion and ulterior motive and much, much selfishness. It's what the spirit of fear does. It causes us to be suspicious of everybody else. Here's a good example. Normal times, I'm talking about a month ago, a little over a week ago, before all this spirit of fear and all this schools closed down, canceling sporting events and all this stuff that's going on. Well, it's been winter time. We've been sick all winter long. Normal times, it's just you run into people, they're sick. You run into people come to work, they're coughing, they're sneezing. "Hey, you okay?" "Oh, I just got a cold."
You go to school, kids go to school, they've got a cold, they're coughing, they're sneezing. You go to work, you go anywhere, and that's just life, it's just normal. You go to Walmart, and people are going to be blowing their nose and coughing and everything. You'll have some fun after church. You go down to Cracker Barrel, there's a big line. Just get in line, start coughing and hacking. They'll either throw you out or everybody will leave. They'll hate your guts. You'll be arch enemy. No. Don't do that. I mean, you know I'm kidding. You'll see people start hating people that go out in public and coughing, sneezing. What are you bringing that kid in here for? Can't you see they're sick? No, 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 no. What used to be, nobody would think nothing about other than maybe, you know, why don't you just stay at home if you're sick? But you watch, if it goes on, you go to town, start coughing, or, you know, get some pollen in your throat somewhere, well, people be jumping on you, probably become against the law. See, where there's fear, there's suspicion, there's hatred, there's much selfishness. You know, selfishness, I got to look out for myself. I got to have more toilet paper. I mean, I've got enough for 6 years. I might need a little more. What about somebody that really needs it? You know, we become very selfish in our actions. That's what the spirit of fear is. It is the opposite of love. It is hatred, and everybody is my enemy, and I've just got to look out for myself and my, you know, that's what it is. Power, love, it's the opposite of love, it's hatred. And of a sound mind, I like that. A sound mind. What is a sound mind? Literally, in the Greek language, the sound mind is a sober mind. Let me give you some things about what a sober mind is. A sober mind is one that exercises prudence. Now, I'm going to turn in a minute and expound on that a little bit, but prudence, discretion. Discretion is the ability to make the right decision. Discretion is the ability to, you know, I might could decide this or decide this. It's not even a moral decision, but discretion is the ability to make the best decision. That's what discretion is. A sound mind is a well-balanced mind that is under right influences. It sees things in their just proportions. Now, is that how it really is? I mean, if you wasn't watching the news, life looks pretty normal to me. It sees things in their just proportions. It is not feverish. It is not excited. It is exactly the opposite of what's going on in our country. I told Kim, I said, one of the effects of the coronavirus is if you don't actually get the coronavirus, on the other side, you lose your mind and it just makes you crazy because our country's. So the opposite of the spirit of fear is power and love and of a sound mind. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 14. Now I know some of you be like, preacher, you shouldn't be saying that. I mean, it's a real threat. But just let me show you one more thing. Just bear with me. I want to show you number three. Ancient wisdom concerning the spirit of fear. How should we react to anything? I want to show you in the Bible. Proverbs chapter number 14. I come across this yesterday morning just in my normal Bible reading and just noticed some things I'd never really noticed before, but I want to show you what the Bible says. There's three people in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 15 and 16. Ancient wisdom concerning the spirit of fear. There's three people in these verses. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 15. The Bible says this: the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. There's three people in this passage of Scripture. There's the simple, There's the wise or the prudent man, and there's the foolish man. I want to show you some things about these three people here. The simple man, first of all, look what the Bible says in verse number 15. The simple believeth every word. Now, you know what that word simple means? It means a simple or a seducible person. We call it being gullible. Do you have a friend that you can always get? I mean, they'll fall for anything. And you say, don't be gullible. Don't believe everything you hear. The simple person, the seducible person, they believe everything they hear is what the Bible says. The simple believeth every word. They believe everything they read on Facebook. They believe everything they heard that they said. Now, I learned in basic training not to listen to they. They and them will get you in trouble. I've told this before. I'll quickly tell it again. I was in basic training. A bunch of boys come in and they said to shave our heads. They'd already shaved their heads pretty close, but we had the little cheeky fuzz. You know, just barely had a little hair. Some guys come in and said, they said to shave our heads. A bunch of guys get in there and they get shaving cream and plastic razors, and man, they're going to town. I'll tell you, that's hard to do. There was blood all over everything. And when the drill instructor came in, he didn't think that was funny. He called them silly, simple people. And he said, and I didn't do it, just for the record. He said, they will get you in trouble. You better not believe everything you hear. Man, them guys look so dumb. Looking back now, it's very funny. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe they. I don't even believe everything I hear on the news. Do you believe everything you hear on the news? I don't believe everything I hear a politician say. I don't believe everything. Just don't believe everything. Have a sober mind about things. The simple believeth every word. They believe everything and anything. And they're all to pieces all the time because they don't have any discretion and discernment. The fool, I'll skip on down, the last part of verse number 16. But the fool rageth and is confident. The foolish person rageth and is confident. We've all known the type. You ever got ready to go on a trip with somebody? And you look at their car and the condition of it and the tires, you know, they're all bald and you can see the threads sticking through where the rubber used to be. And you say, you know, I don't think, you know, we ought to try to go to Florida in your truck. And they say, oh, don't worry about it. Just get in. I've been 50,000 miles on them tires and I've never had a problem. Well, I know. And plus we're hauling, a loaded down trailer behind us. Oh, just get in. Don't worry about it. You know the type I'm talking about. The fool rageth and is confident that nothing bad is going to happen. I don't think we ought to walk down that dark alley in the middle of the night and, you know, I think I heard a gunshot down there. Oh, don't worry about it. Nobody's going to bother us. Come on. That'll get you in trouble too. Come on. Somebody's loud. They seem to be more convincing. That's the fool. I ain't listening to all this stuff. I'm going to shake hands with who I want to. And I mean, this mentality just defies what they're told not to do. Rageth and is confident. Ah, we're not going to get sick. Oh, we're not going to see. There's two extremes here. The simple believes everything they hear, but the foolish person really doesn't listen to anybody or anything, and they yell about it, and they're confident nothing bad's going to happen. But now we want to be in the middle. That's the sober-minded. That's the mind that God gives to His people. God has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it says, the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. That is the wise man. That's the man that I want to be, that you should want to be. This man is a man of a sound mind. He has something that is very rare in our day and time. He's just got some common sense. You know, if we just have some common sense, it'd help us a whole lot. So, oh, preacher, what are we going to do? Well, wash your hands. You know, what we should be doing anyway. The same things they've always said to do to keep from getting sick. Wash your hands. If you're sick, don't go out in public. Don't shake hands with people that are sick. And you know, wipe your stuff down and all that stuff. He has common sense. The word prudent, it means this. It does mean to be cautious. Now, I'm not standing here today. The Bible never says not to be cautious. The Bible teaches cleanliness. You know, you ever heard that phrase? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Wonder where that comes from. Well, from the Bible. The Old Testament priests were to wash in running water. They were to watch. They were to be a clean people. That's just being cautious. That's using common sense. The word prudent means to be cautious, to be careful. The Bible never says not to be cautious or careful. That's just being prudent. What I'm preaching on and what the Bible teaches is don't be afraid. You see, there's a difference there. We're not saying don't be cautious, don't be careful. We're saying don't be afraid. Look what the Bible says there. It does say, verse 16, a wise man feareth. But if you study the Bible, and especially the book of Proverbs, what the wise man fears is not life. Life is going to happen. People are going to get sick. There's no way that's not going to happen. People are going to be in car accidents. People are going to get cancer and all of these things. It's not saying the wise man walks around in fear, but you study the book of Proverbs, look down in verse 27. What the wise man fears is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death, the wise man fears the Lord. But he's not afraid of life. If we're afraid of life, we don't have the right attitude about this thing. We should be projecting confidence, not in ourselves, not in our government, not in our medical community, but we should be projecting confidence in our God. Look what the Bible says. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs 21 and verse number 31. Look what the Bible says over there. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 31. I love this verse. It's a great verse. It says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. There's two things that verse teaches. It teaches preparation. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. They get the horse ready. They sharpen their spears. They sharpen their swords. They do everything in their power to prepare. But guess what? Safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. He's the one that makes us safe. Now, there's two ways to be safe. There's a daily safety, practical things we can do, all like that. I'm all for that. But let me tell you, there's an eternal safety. Now, here's what we really need to be concerned about. There's a virus that's worse than the corona, and cancer, and heart disease, and leukemia, and everything else you can think of. And it's a sin sickness. And it's a soul sickness. And guess what? Everybody's got it. The whole world. We inherited it from our forefather Adam. And the whole human race has been affected with this deadly thing called sin. And the only way to not die from it eternally is that there's safety in the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came, died upon the cross for our sins, shed his blood, made a way to not die eternally from our sin sickness. You know, that's what people really need to be worried about. is their eternal soul and what's going to happen to them when they die. I'm glad we've got a remedy. People talk about a vaccine. There's a vaccine that works. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. So what we're saying this morning, we're not saying don't be cautious, don't be careful. We're saying don't be afraid. Don't project fear. Don't catch into the spirit of fear and be caught up into the spirit of fear. Don't make it where your children lay down on their bed at night and worry if they're... Don't spread this thing. But let's be as God intends His people to be. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed and